One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Well, today on Abounding Grace Radio, we're continuing our study in the book of 1 Corinthians and looking at the spiritual gifts. Such an important section for the church today. And in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is dealing with a question about tongue speaking. Everyone wants to know about these great mysterious gifts. Everyone is curious about the super sign gifts. And we're going to be looking at that as we work through all the way 12, 13, and 14 of these chapters in 1 Corinthians. But today, before he addresses that big issue, he looks at something else. Your doctrine of the church. What do you believe about the church? What is the church? Why do we have the church? Why does God give gifts for use in the church? These are all things that need to be answered. And then we could properly look at what was going on in Corinth. What is our view of the sign gifts? Are those still in today? Are they still, the sign gifts, still in continuation today, or have they ceased? We're going to look at all that here on Abounding Grace Radio. But first things first, how about a strong doctrine of the church so that you understand why we even have gifts? That's what today is all about. And this is so helpful just to appreciate Christ's body and what we are a part of. So thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to the website at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. You can do that right there through PayPal, or the address is there on the website and you can write to us. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. So the message you are about to hear is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I have titled, Before We Address Tongues, Let's Talk Church. One of the things that I have realized is that when there is a controversy in the life of the church, and there's always a lot of controversies in the life of the church, when there's a controversy in the life of the church, people are usually asking the wrong questions. The wrong questions. And they are generally thinking of the wrong things first. And this is essentially what we have dealing with the issues in Corinth surrounding the extraordinary gifts. In fact, the issue is so hot still in our day about the validity of thinking through the question of the validity of tongues and healings and miracles. Just go to sermon audio and look and see where everything is downloaded, where the most downloads come. It'll be this issue, trust me. And if you put some title of tongues up there, you're going to get a lot of listeners. We're all caught up with the mysterious, and we're all caught up with the exciting, and as we looked at in Corinth, the enthusiasm, the ecstasy, all these kind of things that we find interesting and that we're really curious about. We fence look, we wonder, we're curious about these things. Paul knew better than that. Last week, I wanted so bad to deal with that question of signs and wonders for today. I want to get there, and you're going to hear a lot about that coming up. But I didn't want to let the text first address what needed to be addressed before I got there. That was even my own tendency. Paul doesn't start there. Paul starts somewhere else. If you remember the structure of 1 Corinthians, from chapter 7 on, a series of questions had been posed to Paul about different issues in the life of the church. And he's been working through these questions and answering these particular questions that the Corinthians had posed to him. And evidently, one of those questions had to do with the gift of tongue speaking. We can only surmise what it may have been. Paul, and I'm trying to put this together and just assuming, I don't have it. But I imagine it went something like this. Paul, we are seeing this tongue phenomenon sweep through the church in Corinth. We know it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, but what about what we're seeing here? It's out of control. There's gibberish. Nothing is in good order. And the utter fascination of the whole thing in the body has presented a real problem for us. The utter fascination of this has presented a real problem for us. For now we have super apostles. I'm putting together both books here for a minute. Now we have super apostles. And everyone's bowing to the super apostles. And guess what it's done to the gifts in the life of the body? Guess how the body has been hurt? We're really confused about this, Paul. Would you help us to understand this issue of the extraordinary gifts and particularly the issue of tongue speaking? That's what I come up with. Paul didn't start there. What he's been doing in this first section, and this is a section from 12 through 14 addressing this particular issue. He's addressing the issue of spiritual gifts and spiritual persons. But before he gets to the tongue issue, before he addresses this very large problem in the life of the church in Corinth, where does he go first? The church. To have any understanding of gifts, to have any understanding of sign gifts, a strong, robust view of understanding and having a strong doctrine of the church must be in place. In other words, if you don't understand Christ's design here, if you don't understand what the church is, what its purpose is, what's going on, if you don't understand why God gives gifts, if you don't understand the intention of it and how this all works, if there's no appreciation of the design, if there's no appreciation of what Christ is building, what is to be accomplished, answering questions about tongue speaking will make no sense. Answering questions about the supernatural, extraordinary sign gifts won't be of help. The same is true with us. Many of our problems today in searching for power in all the wrong places, many of our attraction to all the extraordinary stuff that we see in our day, many seeking for experience in life, wanting to be entertained to death, is directly tied to a time in which we have lost any appreciation for the church. What it is, why it exists, and what Christ is accomplishing through his church. We live in a day when most people would say, I really don't even need to be a member of a church. This is what we've lived. A statement that years ago would have been foreign is common lingo today. It's a common statement today. And therefore it makes perfect sense that people have no sense then of being a part of anything other than them. That's it. It's all about them. It's all about me. Well, that's what we're considering together tonight. Paul is helping reshape and Paul is helping correct what has become an aberrant view of the doctrine of the church. What it is and how God is shaping the body and fitting each member together, particularly giving gifts to each one, in light of what Paul said last time, for the common good. Shared. Common good. And so we left off last time by realizing how important it is of thinking about who we are and that each member matters. And that's what I want you to think about tonight. How am I contributing to the health of the body of Christ, or the hurt, maybe, of the body of Christ? Because if we can answer these questions in light of what Paul is doing here, the sign gifts won't be so hard to look at. Last time we focused on diversity. Remember, there are diversities of gifts, there are diversities of activities, and there are diversities of, and you notice he emphasized this, effects, that God is empowering all of this. He gives you the gifts to do it. He gives you the opportunities to use them. And then he is even in charge of the results. He's in charge of the fruit. And aren't you thankful for that? That's an encouragement to us, isn't it? That it's not all resting on us, that God is the one in charge of it through and through. That God is the one empowering this through and through. Well, as he's addressing what I believe is this specific issue of tongues, he focuses first on something they weren't considering. That's verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. What an amazing statement. He just introduced something that he has desperately wanted them to understand and appreciate. What is it? It's what they're part of. The body of Christ. And he's using throughout this whole section what we know about our bodies to illustrate this as a metaphor and to help us think through this. I mean, you could start with that. Our body is made up of many different members. You know, when you speak of your spouse, you don't run around and say, "My wife is all mouth." I hope you don't. You don't run around and say, "So-and-so is this," or "so-and-so is this body part," or "this body part." You don't speak that way. You don't say, "I love her mouth. I love everything about her mouth." You don't do those kind of things. She has, you have, one body. And what Paul is saying here is he has just used something common to us to describe the church. He just said, as this reality goes on, and you know this about your own bodies, and I'm going to come back to this here in a moment, so it is with Christ's body. Now, remember putting this together, what Ephesians says, what we are members of. We are members of his body. And Ephesians says, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, and is himself its Savior, and the church submits to Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Now, what that means is that all members who are joined in union to Christ are one. It's one body. And Paul's really helping us to understand and appreciate, to think about the church as the body of Christ. That's probably the best way to describe the church. The church is the body of Christ. And how do we see that play out locally? Well, you see that in the sacraments, don't you? Sure you do. He says that here. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made, notice the allusion here to the sacraments, to drink of one spirit. He's using sacramental language, and he's helping us understand in baptism, you were welcomed into this body. You were initiated into this body. It's a sign and a seal. It signifies a washing and being joined to him. You drink him in the supper. Special blessings of the body. What a beautiful thing the sacraments are. Aren't they? Wonderful. Now, I don't think we thought about that enough. Am I wrong to say that? What are the implications of that? I believe there's probably a very, and I know that about this church, there's a strong consensus here that membership matters. Strong consensus among us that membership matters. But I'm sure you know that living in a church, you're living in a church environment today where that's not a shared consensus. Many of you maybe even struggle with, you value it, but you wonder, is it just something thrown on us by the elders, or is it really even a biblical concept? Think of how this thinking has prevailed in our culture today, in the church. Most people think, I'm going to choose a church that best suits me and what is easiest for me, and if something happens that I don't like, I can change that, and I can go and do what suits me. We really do approach this like we approach a lot of other things. It's a voluntary institution, we think, and we can come and go from it at our own good pleasure. And no one should ever tell me that I really have to do it. I mean, that wouldn't you agree that's a common approach to this today? We really do have this struggle of thinking that way about the church. And what do we incessantly deal with as elders? Well, we deal with this. We deal with this problem. People move away, and maybe it's a young person, maybe it's an older person. And I don't know how it got there, but there's been a lack of any concept or appreciation for the fact that there is to be a local commitment made at a local level, at a local church. There's no sense of that commitment that is necessary for people today. It just seems to be gone. And so most of the time we call, and you should understand this, parents, if this is troubled you and you've struggled with this, our goal is to love the body of Christ, to love all of the body of Christ whom the Lord has put under our care. And we call them and we encourage them. And it's a tough thing to do. We have to do it lovingly and carefully. But the challenge is almost universally we get this sense of, from people today, that we're intruding into their lives. That's the sense we get. This is an intrusion. Oh, there's that strict church again that's, you know, antagonizing us. Nobody else does this. You know, that's the battle. That's the struggle. And you get a statement like, leave me alone. You ever thought about that? Leave me alone. Now, he just said you were baptized into Christ. That's all of our children. Do they have that right? It's something to think about, isn't it? We've heard, I'm the church. Why would I have to be accountable to anyone else but me? And then you go back to, whoa, baptism and then in the supper. You promised you'd never say that. You were made a member of the body. And we care for you and we love you and we want you to be involved and to be involved in a way that honors Christ at the local level, which is an expression of you belonging to Him. I'll never forget years ago when I was wrestling with this issue and they had these old R.C. Sproul tapes. Now they're in the VHS. They're just amazing we had VHSs. But they were VHS tapes, and he was doing all these discussions with young students, high school, college age students. I'll never forget the question as they were all sitting in the group. And he said, do you think you need to attend a church? And it was startling in the group that around the way, they all said, why would we need to do that? And then one girl piped up and said, you know, she responded and said, well, I don't think, you know, you need to do that to be a Christian. Common thought. I'll never forget what Sproul said. Not only did he quote Hebrews, which said we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but then he said something that's always stuck with me, and I thought it's been immensely helpful. Maybe it'll help you. I don't know how anyone could say that they love Jesus and not His body. I never lost that. Listen to the Belgic. We believe that since this holy assembly and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved and there is no salvation apart from it, people ought not to withdraw from it, content to be by themselves, regardless of their status or condition. People are obliged to join and unite with it, keeping, listen to this, the unity of the church by submitting to its instruction and discipline. You say, why? Well, what have you considered in the first part of Corinthians? You've considered that you need a message that has the power to save you, and you can't just get it anywhere. He told you, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. He told you, you need a ministry. You need to be served the gospel. And that's something that every person needs. There's something very special that happens when the gathering comes together and the gospel's preached. The Lord loves to save in that environment. Isn't that wonderful? Loves to save. Bring salvation. And then we say in the Heidelberg, that every member should consider it a duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. So when a person floats around and treats the church, you know, like a menu at the Chinese restaurant and never really becomes a member and never has any obligation to use any of his gifts, what is he? Well, he receives all the privileges of membership without any responsibilities. And Paul, what he's doing here, and you'll see how this gets to the tongues issue, what he's doing here is explaining how we are to think about ourselves as Christians. And his driving point is to say this: you don't exist independently. You forfeited that when you came to Christ. You are not your, what is the first thing the Heidelberg says? Own. You were bought with a price. And Paul explains now, in light of that, how the body works. What he does in this section is so beautiful and important, using the metaphor of the human body to say, you even know in your own bodies you don't function the way that you're treating the church. If you functioned in your body the way that you're treating the church, you wouldn't be able to leave the house because your parts would be spilled out everywhere. Well, I didn't have that in my notes. That didn't really work, but I think you get the point. Notice what he says in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. See? And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense be of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? If your foot looked up at you tonight and had a little mouth on it and said, I'm no good because I'm not a hand, and I don't want to be in this body anymore, I want to be out of this body, what would you do? Well, you'd take the hand and slap the foot, right? If your ear ever said, I don't have the ability to see, therefore I want out, I want to leave the body, and the ear says, well, by the way, you have no right to tell me that I have to be a member of this body. I'm going to go and be an ear on my own. You know that's madness. It just doesn't work, does it? Well, now start to think about what the Lord did when you came to Christ. Do you get his point? Let's make it stronger. He does. There are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's not even a possibility, right? Well, why do we think that's a possibility with Christ's body? Why do we treat him that way? Why are you behaving like a foot with a mouth trying to give the body of Christ the boot? You're members of it. And that comes to expression locally. Paul says, think of your own bodies. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. You know that. I've used this before, but I think it just works. You know the story of Dizzy Dean, don't you? Dizzy Dean played and was the famous pitcher for the Cardinals. And as the account goes, in the 1937 All-Star game, Dean broke his toe fielding a grounder. And the injury continued to plague Dean throughout the rest of his career so that he had to overcompensate with his arm. And finally, because of the bad toe, threw out the arm. You see? Paul says, on those parts of the body we think are less, what do? Well, my hands are pretty important. You see anything on my hands tonight? A ring? That's it. I don't put anything extra on them. What about my feet? Many of the women here paint their feet, soak their feet. Some of the men say, I don't want to pay for that. And they put fancy shoes on them. The next time your husband gives you grief, you can say, well, see, Paul said we can give honor to our feet. You give honor to those parts of the body that are esteemed less. Here's where it all goes tonight. Look at the mess in Corinth. They are caught up with the sign gifts. They're looking for power in all the wrong places. They're looking at those who are deemed as doing the great things in the church. And the little pinky toes were marginalized. They were undermined. They were undervalued. And their gifts were thought to be nothing, so they were not used. When you've created an environment that's about that, when you've created an environment that's about the show, only about the super spiritual ones, when you create an environment that's about using just the tongue, or tongue speaking, you've divided the body. You've created a host of takers and not givers. When people blatantly choose to neglect their gifts in the body of Christ, they become like Dean's bad toe. They're like the bad toe, and other parts of the body then try to compensate, and the whole thing is out of whack, and then everything starts hurting. It's just a tragedy. I see a lot of serving in the Escondido United Reformed Church. I see a lot of saints use their gifts. But I want you to think about this tonight. The manifestation, he says, of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.